For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. If you read the commercial appeal, you know the name Wendy Thomas. She's a columnist and reporter, and she's been working on a new three-part series that explores economic inequality through the eyes of people who are struggling to get by. Wendy, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Today is the 46th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s death, and we have some idea that economic equality was the next big part of his dream. A lot of people think of civil rights in terms of race or sex or religion. How is financial status a civil rights issue?
Historically, we framed civil rights in terms of characteristics that can't be changed, so race and gender. But a growing body of research indicates that poverty is very sticky. It's hard to shake. Once you've been born into a poor economic class, the odds that you'll stay there over your lifetime are very, very strong. And so economic mobility, I think, can be framed as a civil rights issue. Do you have an opportunity to rise above the economic standing of your parents in this country? And increasingly, the evidence indicates that no, you don't.
Your story mentions that 20% of Shelby County residents and a whole quarter of Memphis residents live below the federal poverty level. That seems huge to me. How is this affecting our community?
I think it affects our community incredibly. The median household income in Memphis actually is around $36,000, but the federal poverty level for a family of three is less than 22. So you're talking about tens of thousands of families who are existing on very, very little money. And every issue in Memphis that we see as a societal challenge is about money. Quality of schools, roads, parks, public services, all of that requires money. And if you have a population that's not making very much, and the odds are that they're not going to make very much, it doesn't bode well for the future of Memphis at all.
Wendy, tell us about some of the people you interviewed for your series in the commercial appeal.
So for the last few weeks, I've been following around a few low-income workers. These are people who are making less than $10 an hour living. And one of them, I'll tell you a quick story about one of them, Natalie, 27 years old, Latina, wonderful woman. She's living in this apartment in North Memphis, and it's not the best apartment. When she got the apartment, it didn't come with a stove. So she found one on Craigslist. That's the place she shops. Put it in her car, brought it home, put it in her house. Turns out the oven doesn't work. The apartment has since gotten broken into twice, so she's moved out. And one afternoon I spent with her, she was trying to get across town to take the stove that, again, the oven doesn't work on this stove, back to the person she bought it from so she could get $20 for it. She paid $75. And the amount of time and energy she spent trying to get this $20 stove, that was unreal. It would never occur to me to spend that much time and energy to try to get $20, because $20 doesn't mean anything in a middle-class person's life. But for her, that $20 was critical.
To me, some of the stories we read about convey a sense that poverty is a little bit like quicksand, a few wrong moves, the deeper you get stuck in it. It also makes me wonder if one reason lawmakers seem to be deaf to a lot of poverty-related issues is that there's still a sense that ultimately people make bad decisions. They make bad investments in their lives. So let's talk about that argument of personal accountability.
Obviously, people do make bad decisions. All of us make bad decisions. I make bad decisions. The last one I remember was getting fast food this morning because I woke up too late to make breakfast. Natalie, one of the low-wage workers I found, she also makes bad decisions. She smokes. She knows that's not a good idea. She knows that's money she could be spending somewhere else. But the difference between Natalie's bad decision and my bad decision is that I have enough resources, money, to cover up any evidence of my bad decision, right? So I'm not going to have to go ask somebody for gas money because I spent it on McDonald's. Natalie doesn't have that same margin of error. So we're asking of her and other poor people to have this level of responsibility and an accountability that we don't require from anybody else. And that just doesn't strike me as fair.
Wendy Thomas is a columnist for the Commercial Appeal. The first part of her three-part series is online today and in the paper on Sunday. The rest follows in the next couple of weeks. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Chris.